Yeah, I talk to people and nobody has a good answer.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, you know, and they make you happy. And like, you know, like just be like, I had a friend say something like, just don't do, if you're in a relationship where you think you'd do something that would make them want to kill you, like, just be careful because like people do that. And I was like, what a weird, like, not actionable piece of advice. Like, how do I measure whether or not I'm going to make her want to kill me?
Which also, oh my God, I've never thought about that. And I'm...
Yeah. It's not wrong.
I think I've made every boyfriend I've ever had want to kill me. I'm difficult.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hi, I'm Julia Meltzer. Welcome to Honey. This week we have Steven and Elise. Right now I'm here with Dahlia, who's going to tell you about her show.
All My Single Friends is a live comedy show, half live dating app for all the single people who are fed up with the online dating world. It provides an opportunity to meet people in a non-creepy environment, talk to them in a non-creepy way, and have free tequila shots for non-creepy mingling. And then we talk to them on stage and find out everything you're probably going to want to know before you decide whether or not to go on a date with them every third Thursday of the month. So this May 18th. At the Copper Still on Beverly and Western. It's a weird room behind a bar behind a restaurant. And it's usually $10 at the door, but let's do $5 with the code...
Honey.
$5 with the code Honey. I love it. Yeah, this is takes place in L.A. That was quite an elevator speech, Dahlia. Yeah.
When you go on first dates, like 6 days a week.
Okay, here's Steven and Elise. This is my new favorite episode. Stay tuned till the end to hear about Steven's theory of acceptable levels of doubt, which is like both completely logical and completely insane. Gemma's playing with a loud dog toy. Okay, enjoy.
Honey, 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 come home. 'Cause we've got things to talk about. I've been sitting here on my own. We can work it out. Honey, 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 come home. 'Cause I think we can work it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it.
Suede.
Can't lose.
It's suede.
It's funny.
Okay, let's just, everyone sounds good, I think, but let's just check. I sound good,
mm-hmm.
And Steven, how do you sound?
I think I sound acceptable to normal, hopefully good
you
the whole time.
Good. You sound good. And Elise, how do you sound?
Oh, I sound perfect. Yeah. It's always right at the level.
Elise is practicing her podcast voice.
I mumble. I'm a mumbler, and so I have to, like, really think about talking normal.
Talk normal.
So I'm gonna try.
Yeah, she's been doing this like goofy voice. It's my new favorite. This is how I talk now, and I am excited to be here.
I am a normal human.
Yeah, I think that should be you.
Most people would
that's
think
so funny.
Who don't know you would be like, that sounds very normal.
Yeah.
That's exactly. It sounds so weird to me in my head. I'm like, I sound like a robot. And he's like, you sound fine.
You sound like normal and I can hear you and it's awesome. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm working on it. Also, your voice has sounded normal to me this whole time. So maybe I'll hear some of this mumbling speak at some point.
You'll hear it.
Nuh-uh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Steven and Elise, welcome to Honey.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming.
So excited to be here.
This is so great. So you're engaged.
Yes.
That's correct.
We are.
How long have you been engaged?
We got engaged the week of Thanksgiving. So yeah, 11/22.
11/22.
16.
At 2:22 in the morning.
Oh, cool. Yeah. 1/1/2/2/2/2. Did you do that on purpose?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just actually, I think I tried to, oh yeah, damn it. I was trying to perpetuate this lie that it was, I was going to say it was 2:11 in the morning because I was 11:22, 2:11. It doesn't matter. But it was very late at night, around 2.
Mm-hmm. On purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was like, knowing that I was going to propose for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I was going to do it when I did it, or like sometime, and the day just like went longer and longer and later and later, and I'm like, I'm gonna just go ahead and do it now. Which is not a romantic thing to do.
Oh, I was very romantic.
No, right. It sounds romantic. Something I just cannot get over is how, or that I, until I started like talking to couples so intensely, like these men proposing get so nervous. And like, of course, but I didn't, never occurred to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't nervous.
What,
I
was just procrastinating?
Well, okay. I was. Okay. So like, one, I had to start a disinformation campaign.
Yes.
About 3 or 4 months early. Like I maybe was too good at this because she was like, I didn't think we were ever going to get engaged. I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we're ready for that. Like, it seems like far off. I was putting that out there for a while.
Wow.
Which is maybe a mean thing to do and not necessary.
No, very common. Very common, I feel.
And then we, I guess I was procrastinating. I had a timeline that I wanted to do it. And it wasn't that I was nervous. It was just that, like, people kept getting in my head of like, you know that you have to tell this story forever. So like, you can't fuck it up.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then like, it just more and more I'd hear like, oh, you got to do this. It's got to be like this. And I'm like, maybe I'm just I'm underthinking this. And that like really got in my head.
Oh.
And so I ended up doing my spectacular proposal.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah. At, 2 something in the morning, uh-huh, after gambling for hours and winning lots of money.
Really?
I like to pretend.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was pretty good. We won.
Yeah. I mean, not like thousands of
few
dollars.
Bucks,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
A few hundred bucks. Yeah. It feels nice to be winning.
Yeah.
And then on the way back to the hotel, on the strip, just surprise out of nowhere, I handed her a box that I made, a little woodworking box.
Like on the Vegas strip on the street. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was like, what's this? And then I was like, open it up. And she opened it up and she's like, what's this?
I thought it was, yeah, I kind of thought it was a bit at first because that's just my first thing is like, oh, he's just kidding. And mm-hmm. I was then,
this disinformation campaign worked.
Yeah, disinformation campaign worked perfectly. And then I noticed there was like a guy walking behind us, yeah, like this old guy. And so I was like, don't freak out because like if I get robbed right now and I get this ring stolen, like I didn't want to be like, ah, I just got this diamond, like freak out. And so I was just like, just be cool. And I was just like, oh my God, are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
And then I just like walked back and had a great time.
A couple of follow-ups. I love it. First of all.
You don't have to. It's okay if it's bad.
No. First of all, it's unique. Also, now I have a third thing. It's, I think it would be cool if, because like, yeah, people are like, you're gonna have to tell this story forever. What if people were like, how did you propose? And you were just like, nah, I asked her to marry me.
Yeah.
No follow-ups.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ask her to marry me. The end.
I mean, yeah, after be like being engaged, like everyone asks. So it has definitely condensed down to like, we were walking and he gave me a box. He asked me to marry him. And I said yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Second awesome. Follow-up about it being so late at night. You don't know what the fuck time it is when you're in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That does, let's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I can lie about whatever time it was.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Yeah.
It was very late.
Oh, gosh. Ooh. Hold. Yeah. So it could have been any time.
Yeah. I have to believe that that's true.
Yeah. I didn't even know that it was that late.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we might have originally had the date wrong, the date of proposal wrong, because it's like, oh, wait, no, it's actually very late. It's the next day. Yeah. But yeah, like we just had a cool day in Vegas together for my first time in Vegas, her a billionth time, I'm guessing. Yeah, definitely.
No, like fifth.
You love Vegas?
No.
She loves Vegas.
No,
she always sees the Tigers.
No.
It's a thing.
I just said, like, yeah, probably like 5 times. Yeah. It's not that much.
Right. But where are you from?
I'm from Virginia.
But have you always gone, like, from LA to Vegas?
Yeah.
People here go a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only one time I went when I lived in Virginia because a friend's sister lived there. So we went to visit her. But other than that, yeah, it's just been from here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Party City.
I've been twice.
It's
once very recently.
Yeah.
Once like 5 years ago for a bachelorette party. It was wild. It was like the first bachelorette party.
Mm.
So it was like 14.
You did the first bachelorette party. You invented the bachelorette party.
It was It was a cool idea. I was like, hey, one last night for the ladies. I was like, hey, my friend's going to get married. And then her life's going to be real different. She's not going to be able to ever date anyone again. And we're probably going to see her a lot less. We should have like one big night where we like go crazy.
And then it really caught on.
That's great.
I'm doing it.
You should have patented it. Like you could have made some money.
No, but it was because it was like the first of our friend group. There were like, everyone was really excited about it as opposed to now when people are kind of like, okay. And it was like 14, 24-year-old girls in Vegas. We like didn't pay for a single thing the whole time. It was wild.
Yeah.
That's great. I just went with four dudes and I was like, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it's very different because I've always gone with a group of girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then when I went with Steven, I was like, this is very, very different.
Yeah.
It was super fun though.
No, I'm hurting on the inside because I know she's like, this was not as fun.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I went with you and I got engaged. So,
yeah. So take that, Anna and Katie, and I don't know whoever else would have been there.
I had a whole crisis because I was like, I'm going with my male friends. Like, if I were going with girls, I would get like dressed up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to go.
And then I was like, but maybe I'll like, I don't know, wear flats or wear pants or something. I'm going to be like hanging out with these dudes. I'm not trying to fuck any of them. Like, why do I need to look cute? And then my friend was like, no, she was like, you have to have people buy you drinks. She's like, the drinks are so expensive.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, well, I'll dress like a pretty lady and maybe someone will buy me a drink. And that never happened.
Oh,
and
no.
My feet just really hurt. That was the upshot of that whole situation.
Was it because you were surrounded with dudes?
Probably.
Yeah. That'll ruin it.
That's why you just go gamble.
I think I give up. I, in general, give off a do not talk to me. I'm not interested in you vibe. Like I've never so rarely had this problem that women love to complain about guys like not leaving them alone or like random guys talking. That happens so rarely to me because I just can put on a face like fuck off. And I think it was just hard to peel that off for one night of wanting people to buy drinks.
Why is anybody buying me drinks? I'm scowling at everyone. I'm letting them all know I don't want their presents and it's still not getting me.
Okay, so I have one final follow-up question about the Vegas proposal, which is, do you think you would have done it if you had lost a bunch of money?
Ooh. Okay, so by the time I got, like I did it, I was like, I don't care how it's going to go anymore. Like, I was like, maybe I got to do this big thing and like, maybe don't do something big because like, I know Elise would hate like the worst version of it. I'm sure every woman in the world would hate is like a baseball stadium proposal or whatever, you know, like everybody hates that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm going to do it like just however I think is fun, however it like strikes me. Uh-huh. So I've been carrying around the ring for a little bit. I was like, I got to do it. I'm waiting for the moment. So I honestly think if like we had been losing a lot of money, I would have just done it right at the table and just been like, hey, will you marry me? Because we're bro. Like, we need to circle the wagon. I thought about doing it while we were winning. I was like, I couldn't decide if that would embarrass her in front of all these people. Like after we had like a good run of just going like, will you marry me? This is the greatest. Like just going, this is the greatest night of my life. Will you marry me? Like, I wonder if she would be confused by that. So yeah, it's a lot of, you get very self-conscious about the idea of asking a question.
Okay, final question. Oh, yeah. Who knew my mind is just ticking about this Vegas proposal? Was there a part of you that was like, we should just go like get married right now because you're in Vegas, you know?
I think we said that maybe 10 minutes later.
Yeah, we definitely, I think it was more of like a joking. I don't think it was serious because I know we both want like our family and friends around. So it was like a joke that was like, well, we could just go do it right now.
Yeah, which also like that joke is now sort of playing out.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, here we go into the meat of the matter, surely.
So we're getting married in February next year. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And the date changed a couple times.
I hope. Are you still into that?
Yeah.
After,
I guess. We did put down a deposit on some stuff.
So we have to do it then. But like we've been talking about it and like with like health insurance things and convenience things. We're like, maybe we'll just do it like now. And apparently we're like just doing it now. So we're just going to do like the legal side of it. Like just get it done.
Yeah.
And then the real like
wedding,
the wedding thing. Will be
I
later.
Have friends who have done that too, but they have not told anyone that they're actually married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're not going to tell
now
anybody.
It's going to be on the internet.
Nah. Nobody will know.
Why? Yeah. Why? Oh, right. Well,
yeah.
We can cut this out if you want.
We'll find out.
Yeah. It's fine.
So that's
wow, I'm so dumb. It's kind of early on a Saturday. I was like, are you going to put it on the internet? I was like, why are people going to know?
How?
Why would anybody know?
How would they find out?
We also talked about just like inviting just all of our friends to City Hall because I think it has a max capacity of like 10 or something like that. We're like, we'll just see if we can fit 10 people in and be like,
who
we
wants
did it?
To come?
Open invitation. See who shows.
Put it on Facebook. Yeah. Anybody want to come?
First, yeah, nobody would want that.
We're providing nothing.
the less fun version of a wedding.
Some people would. Some of my friends got married like just, it was like that, but again, it was an early one, so I think I cared more, and they got married like quietly in secret, and I was mad. I was
really?
Like, I want to watch you commit your lives to each other.
Yeah.
I'm a part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of this one as just like, we're just filling out some paperwork. And like, I'm just going to score some insurance.
Yeah.
Not so much about the whole thing.
And then, it's more of like, honestly, just convenience to do it early. Because also my like passport's expiring. So then I would have to get a new one. And then when I change my name, get another one. So it's my license is expiring. So it's just like, do it all.
Yeah.
Yep. Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Smart.
And then focus on the fun.
Yeah. That's true. That is pretty fun.
Yeah.
That probably alleviates a lot of nerves involved with wedding planning, maybe. You're like, we're already married, now we're just planning a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or does it?
No. the party planning of it, I think, is a small nightmare just because everything cost a bajillion dollars. And also every time you talk to like any vendor, like a photographer or a caterer, there's like a kind of like subtle, like, I mean, this is like your one chance to get photos at your wedding. So like, you can do it however you want, but like, just remember you have to pay a lot of money if you want it to go okay. And I'm like, oh, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I just want a photographer that's good. And they're like, well, it costs like $4,000. So if you want it to be good, it's going to cost you money. I'm like, are you sure? It's really heartbreaking every time something happens around it. Yeah. Weddings.
Weddings. So, okay. Are you going to tell me about something you disagree on? Are you going to tell me about a fight you had?
Oh, yeah. Elise?
Well, we did have like a really big blowout in the early stages of wedding planning.
I love a big blowout.
Oh, it was a big blowout. Because I feel like most women, maybe I'm generalizing, but most women have like kind of an idea of what they would want their wedding to be. And so I had this idea. And I, been thinking about it, I'm sure, longer than Steven. And so,
I hadn't thought about it.
So I kind of was like, I already have it done in my head. Like, we can just do what I already have planned.
Which was what?
I mean, it wasn't like anything crazy. It was just kind of like where, like a venue. I had an idea of like what I wanted it to look like, or like, I don't know, just like
decorations.
Yeah.
Got to get those Edison light bulbs. She's an Edison light bulb pervert.
I never said anything about having Edison light bulbs at our wedding.
All right, wait, are we not doing that?
I mean, I love them. If they were there, that'd be great.
Great. Yeah. She's showed me maybe 150 things on Pinterest that are Edison light bulbs. Like, look at these. I'm like, they're just light bulbs. Who cares?
They're cool.
Like, I want them on my wedding. I want them strung up like long before we were ever engaged. Like be like this and then be strung up. I'm like, great. Like, whatever. Fine.
So before you got engaged, you were like talking comfortably about getting married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I was truthfully maybe stupidly confident about it. Like, because wait, how long have we been dating now?
Oh, yeah.
Three and a half years.
3.5 years.
Yes.
That sounds right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good job.
How old are you guys?
I am 20. How old? 20. Am I 29? No. I'm 28.
I'm 29.
You're 29.
Yes.
So that's covered.
Jeez.
It's normal to not remember your own age. So we've been doing it. But I was confident. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry her. Like, probably less than a year, which is a little bit absurd. And then
that's
like going
not
through
absurd
it.
To me. People, what's absurd to me is when people are like, I knew after her second date.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've talked about sure? this on the podcast before. Like there's this whole thing where people will be like, well, if you have any doubt in your mind, then it's not the right thing. Like, it's fuck yes or fuck no. And I'm like, well, that's, I'm never going to feel like that. Like,
yeah, that's what
I'm
I
always going to have a small problem with something. That's just my nature. So
I have a whole theory about acceptable levels of doubt, but we can get into that later.
I definitely do want to. Okay.
But,
Stephen's theory of acceptable levels of doubt.
But so I was like pretty confident early on and we were talking about it. I mean, again, probably fairly early on, the idea of just what that would be like if we were to be together for a long time. And then I waited forever and then I created a disinformation campaign that was maybe too effective. But yeah, we were comfortable with the idea of it long before.
You were Pinterest comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I know that she had a Pinterest board called, called what wedding ? Like, like there will be a wedding one day, but I don't know what it is. And that's been going on before me.
Oh, yeah. What wedding? To me, I was like, it was like, what wedding? Like, I'm not thinking about a wedding. What wedding?
That's it.
Yeah.
Well,
you got it.
I delivered the joke.
I delivered it poorly.
Yeah.
Is the issue. Thank you for the note. Take the note, Stephen. Take the note. Yeah. So planning, I lost my train of thought. Continue. Oh, yeah. Oh the blow
knew,
up and the
knew,
thing.
The blow up. Yeah. You knew less than a year in. So you were having the Pinterest and the Edison light bulb, and she's a pervert about it.
Yeah. Edison light bulb pervert. Yes.
So we were venue shopping one day, and I think we just saw our last one.
Okay. Yeah.
Of the day. And we were driving back, and I can't remember how it like started.
Mm-hmm.
But I know
how,
we're,
oh, how many, I know how what many, you're talking
how
about.
How many had you seen? Like, was this an exhausting day?
No, probably only like three that day.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done more than three in a day.
Yeah.
Maybe four that one day.
Maybe, but yeah.
But they're also like relatively quick as long as... I hate sitting down with venue people and because they want to talk and tell you everything. And I'm like, I get it. Like, I see it. I see the price. I get it. I don't need to have you explain everything. And like, here's why it would be. I'm like, I get it. It's food and a place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah, so we were driving home and I feel like I said something or you like disagreed and you had like a different way you wanted to do it. And like I said, in my head, I had already had everything. So I was like, no, this is how it's done. And like, it just escalated from there.
Do you remember what it was?
That's interesting. Yeah, because I have no idea. I was like, what are we going to talk about? She's like, oh, I wanted to talk. She told me last night like about some wedding planning thing. And I was sure she was going to talk about like 2 days after we had a fight, like right after we got engaged. We had like a fight on the way back from Pacific Grove. Do you remember that?
I think that was just about like how many people or something.
It was even like more stupid than that.
Yeah.
They all start small.
They all start
somewhere.
I love
that
these
are all like fairly recent and you guys can't remember them at all. I think that's healthy.
I have a terrible memory and then I just forget uncomfortable moments.
I remember like
self-preservation.
Yeah,
it's just that never happened.
Let that go. That's gone.
I remember this one that she was talking about after the venues. I think it was something like what just happened was like I think she threw out an idea and I was like, well, obviously we can't do that. And I think that upset her. And I think if I remember right, this was the idea where you're like, what if we just bought, because she just had like her holiday party at her work and they gave everybody Uber credits. And she's like, well, we could just like buy everyone Uber credits. And I'm like, we're already like trying to figure out ways to save money. We're not buying all of our 150 guests Uber credits to go like home or whatever. And she's like, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it's a good idea. I'm like, well, obviously we can't do that. And then that like spun out of control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I still think it'd be a nice idea, but it is too
I love the idea.
That is awesome. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like I was.
If you're a rich person planning a wedding, do that. That's so cool.
It'd be awesome. It'd be the coolest thing in the world.
And you know what? That's even people will do like a shuttle or something.
Yeah.
But Uber credits way better.
Way yeah. better. Nobody wants to be on a shuttle. I had to do a wedding shuttle once for one of her friends, and I hated it because I didn't know any of them. It was the rowdiest, weirdest shuttle I've ever been on. They were very worried about a guy who wasn't there, who was apparently drunk as a whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. But I feel like that's how a lot of, if and when we fight, it's usually like that. It's like something small, and then we just dig in on the like idea. Like, to me, it's just, like, so absurd to even say it. And it's not that I think it, like, I'm mad about it. It's just I'm like, you have to acknowledge that's an absurd idea.
This will be inside baseball for a lot of listeners, but that is an improviser's fight if mm-hmm. I ever heard one.
Yeah.
You're like, no, that's weird. You have to admit that that's weird. And let's pick apart why it's weird. Okay.
That's it. That's all of our fights. I want us to just be all on the same playing field and just admit when things are the stupidest idea. And I actually, again, I want to be clear on this Uber thing before we fight about it on our way home. I think it's a great idea. It's just we could never do it, and that's why it's absurd.
Yes. No, I agree, because after like a few months of me being a crazy controlling nightmare, I realized that like no matter what I had envisioned, everything after we like priced everything out, I was like, well, there's no way like anything like everything is so expensive. So now I'm just in the mindset of like feed people, give them booze, and let's just have a party.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So to be clear, I was a monster bridezilla, and then I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. That's great.
Let's just chill out.
What was the moment that made you be like, I have to stop this?
I think once we like priced everything out and like picked our venue, and then I was like, okay, now it's just like fine. I like the venue that we have a lot, so I was like, everything else is just fine, like I don't mm-hmm. care, let's just mm-hmm. feed people. I already bought my dress, so I'm like, I'm good to go.
Show up, whatever.
But yeah, so now it's kind of just like, let's just like get a DJ, whatever, let's get some food, whatever.
Yeah, great. I love it. I'm turning 30 this summer, and I'm planning a somewhat elaborate 30th birthday party, and I already have been like, let's scrap everything. This is like too, it's not even, it's like partially things are expensive, but partially it's just like too much planning and organizing, and I'm like, I actually don't think I could ever plan a wedding.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a real nightmare, and none of them make it easy. Vendor or people, nobody makes it easy unless you have a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
I think I told Elise very early on, I was like, this would be the easiest thing in the world if we were so cool with dropping like 60 grand on it.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. If we were just, because we're getting married in LA, obviously a little bit more expensive than a lot of places around the country. And we're trying to have maybe 100, I think we're at like 130 guest count too. So it's a big guest count. Expensive because of that, but like if we just had unlimited money and we're cool with it, it'd be no problem. But every single one, every place, like really feels like they're just bending you over backwards and like, well, you're gonna have to compromise if you're not willing to spend $4,000 on a photographer. And I'm like, I'm just not willing to do that. You're not, these photos aren't that great, it doesn't make sense. It's a real nightmare. I love it all. Yeah.
They made a funny cute face with eyes at each other.
It's so fun. Everyone get engaged.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I feel like I'm not selling it, and I'm not. Being engaged isn't the most fun part. But you know, it's a relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
Some
people are like, yeah, weddings are stupid and it's so stressful to plan, and just go to City Hall as you are gonna do. But I'm like, this is so, to me, I'm like, you are doing this incredibly stressful project together, and like when you do that, that's, I feel like that's all part of it. Or has the wedding industrial complex tricked me into being like, it's healthy for couples to do this together? But I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I guess it depends on kind of your personalities as a couple too, mm-hmm. which is like, I'm a controlling nightmare. So every time I would plan something, I'd be like, well, this is already done. I already did it. And he's like, well, I have an opinion. I'm like, but I already did it. So
this is what's crazy about it too, is like, I love this. Thank you for doing this podcast, because apparently she's decided to admit that she's controlling.
I know that I'm controlling.
No, because when this started, because I thought she was, we got in a little bit of an argument we were driving back from like my parents' place like 2 days after we were engaged, and like Elise was like spiraling out of control. That's what I said. That's how I described it. Cause she was like, well, we got to do this and we got to do that. And like, it's going to look like this. And I was like, relax. It's been 2 days. Like, we have time. And she's like, well, we have to do this. I'm like, babe, chill out. Like, we don't have to do anything yet. We don't have a date. We don't. And that we got in a big like blow up over that. And that was like our point of view. But the whole time I kept on just going like, This you're freaking out. You're like trying to do all these things and it doesn't matter yet. And I think you refuse to acknowledge that you're controlling. And now we've got it on podcast.
Yeah. Well, in the moment, I think I'm right. But upon reflection, I realize. Yeah,
well, there was, right. I will say, okay, listen. Are you watching The Handmaid's Tale?
The Handmaid's Tale. Okay, that was the quietest.
I've heard good things though.
It's amazing. But it's just as of recently, I don't know. Of course I'm a feminist and of course I fight the patriarchy, but it's gotten pretty extreme in recent weeks. Ooh. Capped off by watching The Handmaid's Tale. And a part of me is like, you keep saying you're a controlling nightmare. And I'm like, are you, or are you just saying what you want? And we've been told that we can't do that.
Ooh, that's fair.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think she's as controlling of a nightmare as she says she is. I just think I know, and I'm similar, but I feel like she has like strong opinions and is like inflexible a lot of times, but doesn't but doesn't realize she is. So like, it's fine. Like, because I don't care. Like, I feel like if I have strong opinions about plenty of stuff, but I'm also like, I know. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm like putting my foot down, but I'll be like, are you sure? And she's like, I'm being so reasonable and flexible here. Here's what the color scheme of the wedding is going to be. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Like, I don't know. I was thinking like this, like, no, I know. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that she's like controlling it. Just like, I think maybe not as aware that she gets excited.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is, I feel like with every kind of thing that happens in my life is I'll be like, yeah, controlling or just inflexible, and then like upon reflection months later or something, I'll be like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like it hits me much later than like in the moment where it should.
Okay, I get it.
I feel the same. Everybody, I feel like most people are like that. It's like, oh yeah, after you actually think about this, you're like, I'm a monster. What am I doing?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, this doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What's the time frame between it happening and you realizing that?
I would also like to know.
I mean, it depends. I think usually when we have fights, it'll be like a couple days or like a week later that I'm like, I should like bring this up and like tell him like, did, like what's like, I've resolved it in my head or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, would that be weird to just like bring up like a bickering fight a week later? Be like, I've thought about it. I have some things to say. And then let's just go back to being normal again.
Yeah. She actually does do that sometimes. And I find it fun and entertaining, but she also likes to say that she therapized herself.
Oh yeah. I therapized myself. Which I need myself. Professional help, let's be real.
I just therapized
myself.
Yeah, I wish I could therapize myself. I can't. I'm a real monster. Yeah.
So are you guys, does anyone else therapizing you, or you're only attempting to therapize yourselves?
No, we talked about it a couple times. Like, we should just go get therapized more than it would just like more, because it would be, I think, just helpful sometimes to talk about stuff. Because it's easy. I feel like it's easy to let when we have fights or disagreements, or even just like we're trying to understand like the terms of our relationship, which sounds so weird. Like, I feel like sometimes it's easy to let that conversation get personal or like heated in a way that we're like, oh, we don't really care this much, but it's easy to do. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I was really just trying to throw to you because I ran out of words to say.
No, I mean, for sure, it would be nice just to like take that and put it somewhere else for a little bit. Especially, I feel like we know how to like poke at each other.
Oh yeah,
fairly easily.
Yeah, we're great at that.
So when you fight or bicker, like, what does it look like? Is it yelling? Is it?
No, I feel like maybe at the end when Steven's had enough, he'll like yell, or like same on my side too. We'll just start yelling. Then we're like, why are you yelling? How did we get here? But I feel like usually we'll just cool off somewhere separate and then it's fine usually.
Yeah, usually one of us will just get in the word, maybe this isn't healthy, but one of us will just get dismissive and be like, I'm not doing this. Yeah. It happened not too long ago. I don't remember what about, but you went to bed and I was like, I'm hanging out here, and I played video games for like 3 hours.
Yeah, which I think is I do need that time to like cool down because, mm-hmm. like I said, I process things slowly. And so I feel like in the moment I'm just like spiraling and I can't stop what's coming out of my mouth. So it's nice to just have a minute to be like, this doesn't matter. Don't be mad.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
And I feel the same because I'm just sitting there going like, you realize this is absurd, right? And I have to do that. And I'm like, why do you care? This doesn't matter if it's absurd.
So does it like trade off who is like, I'm not doing this? Are each of you equally likely to kind of pull the plug on the bickering?
I think it's a pretty even, like sometimes Steven will just be like, I've had enough. And sometimes I'm like, I'm going in a room and shutting the door. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty even.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Yeah. And it's nice that you're able to do that. Well, yeah. That's hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
To leave it, whatever, unwon or un.
Yeah.
Not unresolved, but.
Yeah. No, unwon is a good way to. Well, I mean, I feel like that's the thing too, is like, I feel like I'll want to follow up or whatever days later. Cause like, it's just to go like, where do we not necessarily like about the fight or whatever, of like resolving the color scheme or what the actual subject of the fight was, but like maybe just the idea of like, we shouldn't do that. Like, we know that that was a little silly, and how we got pulled into that fight mm-hmm. felt weird, and maybe we should try to not get pulled into that argument or like that anger again. And I don't know that that works, but I like just going like, we agree that we shouldn't have got there. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is so interesting to me. Why shouldn't you have got there? I have an agenda with these line of questions. So hang with me. Should you not have got there?
Well, for me, it's just because I feel like I personally get like irrationally upset and not like that, like just the other night, whatever it was about, I was like, just, you know what? I'm not doing it. Like, I felt like I raised my voice and I was very dismissive of her. And that's not nice to do. And I'm not mm-hmm. trying to, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that type of thing. And I was like, oh yeah, that's how I got there. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I hope you understand why I got there. So like, maybe you can like prevent me from doing it the next time, or I can prevent me from doing it the next time. But that's why I feel like, yeah, like why it has to come back, or yeah. Elise.
Yeah, Elise. What?
How I get there?
What? Sure. Why do you like? Why do you do? Are you like, we should not do that? We should not get to that level of fighting? Do you feel like that? Or we should find a way to avoid that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a really big fight, then yeah, I'm like, that was like silly to like go to that point. But yeah, again, like I know it might not be the healthiest, but like getting to a certain point and just being like, we're gonna take a break, like put pause on this.
Yeah.
Cause then I do think like I get irrationally mad and then mm-hmm. just start like spewing stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
It's not necessarily the fight or the argument. I feel like it's more just like the way in which it's done. Like mm-hmm. I don't want to be damaging or like mean. And I think the same thing, like I would prefer if Elise isn't damaging or mean to me.
So to
and
me,
I don't think you usually are, but yeah.
To me, damaging is the key word, and talking to you guys, obviously you know more than me, but I'm like, is it damaging, or do you have this idea that's like a happy couple shouldn't yell at each other? And so my theory, based on having absolutely no expertise at all, is like, I think that the level of the fight is like, or how hot the fight gets is, or how long the fight lasts, all the ways that we typically think of what makes a fight bad is like so much less important than how you feel about the fight and about the way that you fight. So like, there could be a couple who like yells and screams and throws things and breaks things, and then you know, the next day they're like, "Woo, that was a doozy." Like, and they like think it's funny or whatever. Or there could be a couple that like throws each other like one mean look, and then they're like torn up about it for a week.
And like on the surface, the couple that doesn't yell, it would be like, oh, they're better. But I think it's just all about how, if you are okay with the amount that you fight, that's what the damage to the relationship is, not necessarily the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that's true. And it's, yeah, I think that's 100% true. Like, we've had fights over little things, but the way in which it's done or the intention of like, like, I think, or even not us, but like in other relationships, like where the intention of it is like little things and we're trying to devastate each other. And it's like, well, that's mean. That's not a good thing to do. But like, or we can have like big, loud, like feels very boisterous fights, but we both know like we're on the safe side. We're not really mad at each other. And that's fine too. Like when we walk away from it and go like, oh, this wasn't a thing that was about like hurting each other, which I feel like it's easy to do when you get in a fight. Cause you know, you're just all amped up and you're like, well, what if I took her down?
What if I really destroyed her?
What if I, what if I broke her emotionally? which is how I go through the world. It's just thinking like, what if I broke this person?
Yeah.
We talked about it the other day. I tried to break a friend and it worked. Oh, and I was like, I shouldn't do that.
Do you feel like you're capable of doing that? I am too.
100%.
And you are too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also why when it gets to a certain level, it's like, you gotta stop. Yeah.
We've got the launch codes and we're just a hands on the key and like, am I gonna fucking do this?
But I mean, at the same time, like, I understand, you know, people being like, oh, like fighting couples are like bad or like whatever your stance on it. But I feel like if I were in a relationship where you never fought, I think it's nice to like have that, because of course you can't like spend all of your time with someone and then not fight a little bit. And I feel like it pushes buttons in you, like to make you think about yourself in a way is like challenging and different and fun to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it's fun to fight, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's fun.
I agree. Look, we're all mentally ill or something. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. Well, for sure.
Early on in our relationship, we had like a, like probably like 6 months in or something, we had like a good fight about who knows what. And Elise was the nicest, sweetest person about it, like moments after, which also is just not how she actually is in life, which is funny.
You tricked him.
It was really great. She really tricked me. And then like I was like, she diffused the whole thing and like was like, you know, if we're gonna fight, like we're gonna make this work. Like, it was so sweet. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, this is the most compassionate. She's Oprah, you know. And then the next day she's like, you know, I don't know that I could be with somebody that I didn't fight with. And I was like, what? And it was I don't remember her exact words, but it was something about like, you know, it's like, I care a lot and like, I'm sure you care a lot too. And like, that's good. Like, if I didn't care enough about somebody, if I was like disengaged, I think we would probably never fight. And I think it'd be bad. It'd be bad for the relationship. And I was like, it was the first time I had heard that. And I was like, that's interesting. Oh, okay. Maybe not everything has to be, maybe it's not all a bad thing, the idea of fighting. And that opened me up. Yeah.
I'm so wise. Oh.
You are so wise.
Yeah, she was also tricking me at the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's so sweet, and I almost want to leave it there, but
yeah.
I also want to hear about Stephen's theory of acceptable levels of doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I So
maybe this will end up being bonus content or
this
something.
This might be. I don't check know, it out
that
on
was
the
such
web.
A beautiful ending, but okay, go
so
ahead.
So it was just about like proposing. Because I was real torn up about it. Like, I was very confident that I was going to propose to Elise about a year in. And I was like, this is going to work. And then more like as our relationship continued, I was like, well, wait, it's not like perfect. I'm not saying everything about Elise or our relationship is perfect. That'd be crazy for me to think that. And then I started like really spinning in my head for a long time of like, well, how good is it supposed to be? And like, how do I know? And I thought about it and I thought about it and I thought about it for maybe 2 years.
Did you talk to people?
I talked to people and nobody has a good answer.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, you know, and they make you happy. and like, you know, like just be like, I had a friend say something like, just don't do, if you're in a relationship where you think you'd do something that would make them want to kill you, like just be careful, because like people do that. And I was like, I was like, what a weird, like, not actionable piece of advice. Like, how do I go? How do I measure whether or not I'm going to make her want to kill me? Which
oh my
also,
God, I've never
I do think
about that. And I'm.
Yeah. It's not. It's
I think
not
I've
wrong.
Made every boyfriend I've ever had want to kill me. I'm difficult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
that, oh, my God.
That's the other thing, too, is like, I wanted to be like, I think I'm more likely, let's be real, based on the history of all men, I'm more likely to kill her.
For sure.
And I get angrier. But
if she kills you, she's you're more likely to have harmed her first. 93% of women who are incarcerated in California for killing their husbands were abused by their husbands.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that an
Guys,
insane statistic? And
world.
I don't know. This has really got off on a tear.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. But anyway, so I thought about it for a long time, and I kind of came up with this like this like arbitrary thing is like, let's say if I was going to rate our relationship or Elise, like give them a percentage grade. Let's just say arbitrarily, like let's say Elise is a 90%. Like she is an A minus. I love her. She's great. Right. but you're sitting there.
Romantic.
And
should be high.
Listen, can I tell you something? Every time I've ever told anybody this story, I think I've said 88, which is like,
is that a hypothetical or is that the grade you're giving her?
Who knows? It doesn't. It's a hypothetical.
Okay.
Okay. So,
okay.
If you're thinking about your relationship or this person, like, oh, this is a 90% because Elise is the best. What's your like next best alternative
you
option?
No, percent literally means out of 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 90 out of 100, 9 out of 10. Let's be real. That's great. Hold on. That's great. That's really great. I think that I genuinely believe like that's really great. But if your like next best option is to like, I thought about it, I was like, is to torpedo this relationship, wish her the best and then go out there and get on the hunt and see if you can like beat her, like see if I can get somebody who's a 91 or a 92. Like, is it worth that for the emotional devastation that you'll put her through and yourself through? And I like, that's honestly, this is like my, I told somebody like, this is like my bro science way of doing it. It's not romantic. It's not nice. But I think that's the truth is like, I don't know how confident you need to be to like pull the trigger on a relationship. But I do know that like, how like what my option is to ruin it and try to get something better. And the likelihood of like, do I believe that there's somebody like I can find somebody who has all of the qualities of Elise plus one? That seems a lot. That seems unlikely because I've dated. Not everybody's mm-hmm. been as good as Elise, even close.
yeah.
But then the other thing too is like, and then the worst case scenario, if we get married and like I pull the trigger or whatever, and it doesn't work out, which is sad. But if that doesn't work out, one, I didn't wait forever and waste a lot of time doing that. But two, now I have a really good indication of like, oh, you were 90% confident. That's not enough. You need to be even more confident than you were. So in a weird way, I'm like, this is both a, I think this is good because I know, I feel like I'm about as confident as I can get. But it works out well because one, I pulled the trigger. I didn't waste anybody's time. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. But two, if it doesn't work out, now I know going forward, 90% confidence is not enough. That's my bro science level of acceptable confidence. It's a real monster.
I love it. I love it so much. And I have to point out that it is for sure bro science mm-hmm. because a woman could never think like there's a whole other math a woman would have to do. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
If you're like, okay.
Oh, ages?
I'm, yes. Yeah, you're yeah. like, I'm 90% confident. Okay, so I should go, I can get married. And then if it doesn't work out, I have to be more confident.
Right.
However, now my dating pool has like significantly
right.
diminished.
It's, yeah, it gets smaller.
You have to do like,
and, like
way
ages
more math.
For, yeah, kids yeah. and stuff. Well, it's yeah. also the same thing. That's also too, I think it's considerate. And even though it's a
the
monster
time
thing.
Time wasting factor yes. is more, yeah.
She said that exact thing to me. She, like I've expressed doubts in the relationship, but like, I don't know how confident I need to be, like that type of thing. Which also, guys, don't tell your girlfriend that. They hate it. They, as much as you think like you can share and be empathetic and like she'll get it and help you understand, no, it just breaks their mind a little bit and they're mad at you. But I've expressed that to Elise and she's like, well, you know, like you got to get out. If that's a thing, you should leave because I'm not getting any younger and I got to have kids. you know, within the next X number of years. And I'm like, really that soon? She's like, yeah, it's a danger after whatever age. I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay,
after
good
35, right? It's your...
That's crazy young.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. So I'm like, okay, I get it. So again, in a weird way, like I wish I'd done it maybe a little bit sooner than I did. But it's like, yeah, it's also a courtesy to your lady too, to not keep them in a relationship where they... You're not sure, they're not sure, whatever. It's like, either get out or go for it and see if you're comfortable. And if that's not it, then you can break off before she's 35 and can't have kids.
More before that.
More before that. My brain is breaking. Although
34 and 360 days. Like, it's over. Good luck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bro science. Also, guys, just don't tell any of your ladies that thing ever. Mm-hmm. Once you say 90%, like they really stick with that and they're like, wow, 90%, huh, motherfucker? No, and you're like, that's really good. That's an A.
When you told me that, then I was just thinking of my own, like, oh, well, what percentage is Steven?
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is I know, as mean as it sounds to give Elise a 90 or an 88 or whatever I gave her, like whatever the grade is that I gave her, I'm like a 47. So I'm very lucky.
Well,
let's be real.
I'm just thinking like... that does make sense. Dan Savage is always like, there's no the one, there's a 0.67 that you round up to one. So 90 is a very good grade compared to a 0.67.
I agree.
Surely.
I agree with
that. 0.67, was that a D? That's barely better than a D.
Yeah.
Barely. But I think it would be so hard for me to do that. I am not like people that I have been like, okay, like maybe this is, I could marry this person. I have not, definitely not been like, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal. And I, but I also like couldn't give a numerical letter grade. I would be like, what I do say and what I think this, my input on this kind of theory of, what is it? The theory of acceptable doubt.
Yeah, bro science, acceptable doubt.
Is more, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like content wise, mm-hmm. like you know what that 10% is or whatever percent that you don't like, you know what it is and you're okay with that. And you have like your eye on the ball for things that are going to continue to come up throughout your relationship. And you know that you have decided that that is cool with you.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think that's healthy because like those 10% of things that are not perfect for you are not going to like surprise you.
Right.
Whereas people who do not think hard enough or just like, I can't wait to get married and have a perfect life, or then they'll be like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is not perfect.
That's not what I expect. This isn't perfect. Yeah. The last thing I'll add on to that is like, there's well documented, like, scientific or psychological research on that. Like if you make a decision and stick with something, like I am buying this car or like I am taking this job or I am leaving this behind forever. If you do that, you're more likely to be happy with your decision if you like stuck with it and you can't go back in a way than you are if you like leave yourself a lot of outs or spend a lot of time thinking or like looking at a lot of options and really overthinking it. Like you're more likely to regret that decision if you're like, well, I could, you know, I'm not, I don't know, I'm going to leave it open. Like it's harder for you to do that. So like, I guess what they're saying is like, you end up more happy with your decision if you make it, but the longer you spend not doing it, the harder it is. So I'm like, yeah, so I'm happy with this. I'm about as happy as I can be. Let's just see what happens. Yeah. I'll figure it out.
You could have said, I'm happy with this, and not said, I'm just about as happy as I can be.
Yeah.
Quietly. Yeah. Okay. I'm just as happy as possible with this, I guess. I guess this makes me happy.
To all the bros out there, like, this is why you don't share this with your ladies, because like we're all real monsters.
A little bit in a pot of boiling water. What is Elise about to say about this?
Well, we're gonna fight in the car. I mean, no, I agree. Like everything you said about that 10% or like whatever, it's just like the love that you feel, and then all of the good qualities. I feel like just cancel out like whatever. That 10% isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. And you just deal with it because everything else is just so much better. Mm-hmm. Then it just doesn't really matter, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that informed my decision pretty early on, which was just like, Yeah, there's a few bad things, but what, you know, what in life is 100% perfect?
Yeah.
And yeah. I, you know, our relationship and all the good things that we bring out in each other just far outweighs that 10% of shittiness.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Right.
No, I'm truly a monster. I remember when she got sad that I said, I'm not sure that she's my soulmate. Also, don't say that, guys.
Yeah,
mainly because I just don't know if I believe in soulmates,
and that's fine. You don't have to.
But don't
you,
say that. But also, and now this is occurring to me. You really, there's a lot of stuff that you should not have said. But but also, now I can't believe I'm being so hard on you for this because I am like this. Not about this, but I'm like you don't have to wonder what he's thinking.
Yep.
Yeah. I tell my friends things, and they're like, "He said that to you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. It's fine." But yeah, which is also, I guess, kind of nice because I'm like, I always know like what he's thinking because he'll just tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I. Yeah.
No surprises.
I feel like it's nice to be maybe too honest and tell her everything, but also it is a monster thing because it just puts that in her head of like, poor Elise, and she's like, I mean, he doesn't think I'm his soulmate. God damn him. Well, what does he think? And then I feel like Elise and just women in general around romance stuff, they only hear the worst possible interpretation of it, which is like, I don't think you're my soulmate because I don't believe in soulmates. I'd argue that I probably have like, there's probably like at least 1,000 women who I'd be like fine with.
1,000?
At least.
Globally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Disagree. Sure.
There's gotta be it. All right, fine. At least 100 then.
All right.
And then that is like a devastating thing to hear. And all they'll hear is I would rather be with 100 other women. So don't say anything like that. Keep those thoughts to yourself, bros.
Steven, I have to say I'm so worried for you about what the honey fans are gonna tweet and comment.
I'd also like to hear and understand because I'm learning more and more how these things affect people.
But all the nice things he says to me and sweet things that he hasn't mentioned once on this podcast are far more than the I'm not your soul, or I don't believe in soulmates.
No, I listen, girl. I from the moment he started saying this, I'm like, there must be because she's still sitting here. So.
Oh my God.
Of course.
Oh God. I'm just trying to decide if I should try to say a million nice things.
Do you want to share some of that?
To try to save myself or if we should just...
Well, here we can segue into my ending, right? Yeah, can segue whatever into my ending and you can use this as an opportunity to say some nice things.
We'll see.
What have we learned?
Just like being in a relationship or from this podcast?
Both, anything, ever in your life.
What have we learned?
Okay, I thought you were going. You're not.
I had to think about it.
Okay. For me, I think it's throughout this relationship, like I've learned more and more, I think it's just about our like intention in the things that we do and like discovering that some things that feel like annoying or slights or whatever aren't intended that way and correcting that and change like through our relationship. I've been like, oh, she didn't mean to like try to take me apart with that type of thing. And it's not obviously not even close to that. Or even in the same token where it's like, oh, we're getting in this fight and then I'm getting mean because we're in this fight. Why am I shouldn't intend to do that. I don't need to do that. This is about, you know, whether or not we're eating Thai tonight. This is silly. And so like that's something over our relationship a lot I've learned is like, if you're intending to hurt somebody or you think somebody's intending to hurt you and whatever you mean by hurt, like that's a big, big thing. And I think you have to be aware of that. Like, and it's easy to miss like just little things of like, oh, they're not acknowledging me in the way that I would need to be acknowledged or whatever. I think that's a big thing. In this podcast, I've just learned, man, one, I'm just glad we have it on the record that you're controlling monster. but it does go back to exactly that. Is like I think Elise and I always have. I think all pretty much always. Like if we dig down for most things, we do have the best intentions for each other. And I know that like I'm I feel like I'm frequently like looking out for her best interests, or what I perceive to be her best interests, as best as I can. And I think she's doing the same for me very often. And I love her for that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I've learned, because this was my first long-term adult relationship ever. So before that, I was always very controlling, very independent, like a little selfish. And I feel like being in this relationship, I've learned to try to curb those initial instincts hard, because it is hard to, well, it was for me, to let someone else into your life in that way, and to kind of adjust how you think and how you feel based on someone else. Like, I want him to be happy and him to feel loved. And so taking someone else into consideration into your life like that was very new for me. So I think I learned, and I'm still learning, how to do that, and just how to be a partner instead of just my own separate thing, which I think was just hard for me. But, you know, I'm trying, dude.
Thanks, dude.
From this podcast, that cup's about to fall over.
Thank you.
From this podcast, oh, man, I guess I've learned Steven's theory of acceptable doubt.
Yep.
I hadn't heard the official term for it.
I just came up with it.
Yeah. It's great.
Thank you.
I love it. You should write a book.
Yeah. It's very, it's.
Do you mean that?
I don't know that. I feel like this
you
is like.
You should give a TED talk.
Yeah. Ooh, I feel like it'd be very popular with like men's rights activists and like monster people.
No, it wouldn't. Okay. Give yourself some credit.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I do tell everybody, I'm like, this is like my bro theory, and like, don't ever tell anybody about this, because it is callous. It is like a little bit callous and mean, but it's like, sometimes it's just hard to like, especially for men, but like to parse out whatever these emotions are, or like how to like get it right. And then that's the truth, is like, you ask people like, how confident in my relationship should I be? And nobody has a good answer. Nobody has like a good answer of like what's acceptable levels of like, well, you know, we really can't seem to get on the same page about this. Does that matter? Yeah. And they're like, no, I don't know. Not really. Maybe.
I had a recent theory about this. Let me try to remember. Mm. We might come.
Here comes the bro science.
Cut out some of this thinking
think deeply.
Time.
Think deeply.
It's like, you can fight, but you oh god damn it! It's like, basically. It's almost the opposite of what I said before about fighting and fighting damaging the relationship. But it's also not about the way that you fight. It's about the content of the fight. Mm. And if you're continuing to fight about something that like you could never see yourself getting on the other side of that, then you gotta pull the plug. But if you're fighting about something that you're like, okay, like I could see myself coming around. If it's a recurring issue.
I think it's, I honestly just think it's.
I have to re-listen to the recent episodes.
to figure out
clearly
what I believe
about myself.
Clearly
it was a great one. It stuck in my brain so well.
I think it's like it's not like, we don't think we have to agree about everything, but it's like some of like the major trajectory things of the relationship are the things we need to agree on. Like, oh, we will get married one day. And like, oh, we'd like it's very, it's stuff that we as a society don't talk about a lot, but it's like, it's almost like family values, things like, what do we believe that is important?
Yes.
Is like a certain level of loyalty important, a certain level, like it's things that I think, I think about this more and more, is like, what would be like, if we were medieval knights, like what would be on our crest? Like,
oh my
what
God.
Are the things that
I love
like,
it.
Like, and those are like foundational things.
What
and
would
so
be
like,
on
do
your
they,
crest?
Do they match? And if they don't, or if they're like really competing, then that's an issue.
Oh my God.
Whereas
this is
like,
so good.
Wherever we hated, if we were like mad about like, or like bicker about things like where dirty dishes and clean dishes go, like that doesn't fucking matter. Nobody could care less about that. Like, that's not going to be the thing that destroys our relationship. But if the thing is like on our crest is like a continued cleanliness and, you know, a nice household. And yeah. then it's just like, I'm a fucking slob. It's like, well, that's going to be an issue.
Well, yeah. of course. Okay. This just... because those little fights are often like about dishes and board games and driving is what they always are about. But they represent bigger things to some people.
Yeah.
Or that's, if you decide they represent something, if they are a representation of something that is on your crest. Then
I think that's fair.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Like it's easy to get into those types of things for sure. But it's like, yeah, are they foundational or not? And I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in things and be like, this isn't about anything. Like, I don't care at all. I'm just fighting because I want you to know that it's absurd.
Okay, what's on your crest? Is that too personal?
See, that's the thing. Like, I do genuinely believe that that's a thing that's not considered a lot by our society. And it's not talked about, like, things that are values. I read a book recently that was like 500 years ago, people would know what they would die for.
Oh,
like,
God.
What's the thing that they believe that they would die for?
Whoa.
And people today have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's true. I have no idea.
Okay. Let's all give a first draft of what would be on our crest and something we would die for.
Okay. To me, a lot of things that are just important are empathy or at least the beginnings of empathy and things like I feel like very frequently I can go like this person, even if they're honking at me or a monster or a crazy homeless person or whatever, it's like I get it. Mm-hmm. I have to understand and like give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not a monster. I'm trying to do that as much as I can, so like that's very important to me. I also feel like trying your best at things is very important to me, like trying to be the best version of yourself, putting in full effort to things you do. I think that's very important to me. Those are things that would sort of be on my crest. And then, you know, just things like boring stuff that I think everybody would have, like family and loyalty and stuff like that. Bro science is on there. Yeah, those are things for sure. That's
my die for.
Oh, fuck. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and there is mainly due to politics right now. I'm like, yeah, I could really go down for like democracy. I feel like we're in a weird spot. And I'm like, if there was like a civil war, like I'd fight. I'd go.
My crest was one of the boring things you mentioned, which is loyalty is a big thing for me because I also just like don't open up frequently to people. So when I do, I like expect a lot from those people.
Mm-hmm.
So loyalty is definitely up there. I think, I don't know if this would be like stupid or whatever, but I think like being supportive is like a big thing for my crest because, you know, if you have kids and just your parents, like anyone in your family or like friend group, I think it's important. Like you want to build people up as opposed to, breaking them all down.
Yeah.
I like family. I guess love, honor,
dignity.
Dignity. I just want a Game of Thrones
and slaying dragons.
Slaying dragons is number one.
Yeah.
Honor, I think, is a good... don't you think honor is the medieval knight word for doing your best?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I like that.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I also think, like, when I just... real quick, when I said, like, boring stuff, it's like, that's stuff that I think everybody agrees on.
No, not everybody puts family on their crest. That's one thing that... this is a wacky Venn diagram I'm about to make, but on The Bachelor, they're all like... well, family is really important to me. And I would love for someone to be like, family is utterly unimportant to me.
I don't give a shit about family.
Like the I don't first even person. Really like my family. Yeah. No, I love my family, but not everyone does.
That'd be like the first person in the world to just go, you know what? Like, I don't really care about family. Or whoever said that first was like, I think I'm being really interesting. I was like, I care a lot about my family.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I don't know. This is a quirky thing about me.
And I was like, they're all like, I just love my dad. I have like such a great relationship with my dad, or like my dad died and it devastated me. And it's like,
of course you're weird about your dad. You're on The Bachelor. Yeah, right? No one with a healthy relationship with their dad is here right now. Yeah. I am saying that, but I love True. The Bachelor, and I do love a lot of the people who go on it. So.
I get it. I'm on board. I get it.
Yeah, what else?
What would you die for?
What would I die for?
This is such a hard question.
I know. This is just a first draft of an answer.
I feel like, I mean, this is going to go off relationship and off family just because I've been thinking about it a lot. I think if they're, like you said, like a civil war, but for just like women in general, I feel like I would go into battle for that because we're still getting treated like dirt. And
you haven't even watched The Handmaid's Tale yet.
I know. I've heard.
Fuck you up.
I've heard it's intense. There's.
No, you should not watch it together.
Okay.
I'm encouraging people not to watch it in their hetero relationships the way like it would just be very intense for like an interracial couple to watch Get Out. It's a little bit like. It would be like that.
Ooh, oh, that sounds great.
I'm going to watch it alone when I get home.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And then when you come back home, just tread carefully, treat her very gingerly.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to be waiting for you.
Yeah. That's so funny.
You come home. Shaking.
I gotta find out what this Handmaid's Tale is all about.
Maybe you can watch it together.
Yeah. That's so funny. I think that's interesting. Like, I do think that is an interesting thing that people should think about more. And I think that's probably be in a weird way, like very guiding in relationships is like, what was something that you care enough about that you'd die for? Like we watched a movie recently, Colossal, yes. Which was not great.
It looks so good.
It's fine. Okay. It's fine. Like, it's a solid idea and they just didn't like get
that
it there.
That makes me the most mad though.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Yeah. But there was a point in it where I was like, you know, like there's a thing where the most logical thing could do is like one of the side characters should kill both of the other characters, like the main characters of the movie. It's like, just go shoot him in the head. You got to do that. And I know that sounds weird, but I'm like, I would have done that. I understand that like I'd probably get in trouble, but I'm like, yeah, that's a greater good thing. You got to do it. I'm willing to fall on the sword for that one because somebody's got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have thought about, I would, God.
What would you shoot somebody in the
Please
head for?
Still like me, people. I no, just it would be pretty easy for me to kill someone who like fucked with someone I care about.
Yeah.
In a major way if I had to. No problem. No moral qualms.
I have a little brother and sister.
I could kill a Nazi. I'd slap a Nazi, I'd kill a Nazi. Oh, I'd punch a Nazi. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I have a little brother and sister and every now and like cuz they're 15 and 17 respectively right now. And they're young. And I remember like when they were young, I was like, man, if somebody ever hurt them, I like, there's no way I wouldn't go kill them. there's just no way. I care so much about these, like these, the most innocent little 15 and 17 year old dweebs in the world. I love them so much. And I think those are things that are just important in a weird way to think about. Well, yeah. Like what would you kill for? What would you die for? Those are questions that nobody thinks about. You don't really have to in this wonderful modern life. But I think if you can like, if you actually do think a little bit about them, that would be very guiding in the relationship. And I do feel like Elise feels similar in the same type of things. Like I know if somebody, I think you, if you had a little brother and sister, you'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll kill someone if they do that. I think you'd feel very similar.
I feel
like,
that about your little brother and sister.
Yeah.
I would go to bat for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like the type of thing that like, you know, we'll probably never have to, we, Elise and I will probably never have to murder anybody and
maybe.
We'll probably never have to
Who
die for something.
Who knows what's going, check in with me after you watch The Handmaid's Tale.
But you might have to.
Oh, I mean, honestly, God. If someone's mean to my dog, I'm like,
Yeah. I thought about that too.
Should I run over them with my car?
Because our dog was like apparently like abused before we saved him. We talk about that sometimes. I'm like, I'm so mad at that person. I hate that person. I would kill that person. They can't do that. Yeah. And I think, that's like a guide. It's a weird like guidepost in our relationship. We'll probably never have to do those major things like kill or die, but it is good to know that like if we had the most extreme, the hardest things, we're probably pretty aligned on it. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Another way to think about it is like, who would you be, you know, in the resistance in the nuclear bunker with? Who do you want on your team for that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can be on my team.
Yeah, I'd for sure want you on my team.
That is
great.
Like
you'd be like, I have all the best weapons and all the best. Like,
I've never thought about that, but I definitely would not hitch my wagon to anyone who I wouldn't be like, yeah, we could be in the resistance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God! Okay, what a turn this has taken, and I'm really so glad it did. We covered so much ground.
We really made everybody.
I'm
going
to say it. I'm going to say it. This is my new favorite episode.
Yeah,
you guys were awesome.
Do you say that every episode?
No,
I've listened to a handful, and I don't think I've heard that.
The last one, yeah, the last one was Nick and Danielle. They were my new favorite. Before then, it was kind of a while, but they were fairly recent, and they were that was the moving into other couple who played footsie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cute.
So, where are they now?
You're my new favorite. We got to check in. That was only a few weeks ago. I told them they have to like tell me immediately as soon as they move in together.
Yeah, please come back. We need that. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Oh, and we have to have, I'm going to have a pregnancy announcement for some honey listeners.
You're pregnant?
So, not me.
Uh-oh.
Is it me?
A honey couple is pregnant.
Oh my God. So that's exciting.
Stay tuned, listeners. Anyway, okay. Well, we really have covered everything. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, this thank you for awesome. Having us.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to Honey. If you or someone you know would like to be interviewed on Honey, email us at honey@whatsacreative.com. I'm Julia Meltzer. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Drunk Actress. Honey is produced by Ryan Middledorf and Ryan Countshouse. Our theme song is by Aaron and Melissa, and our cover art is by Allie Monroe. Thanks for listening.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?